It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, we are continuing our series on the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We are learning throughout this book of Revelation two main themes. Number one, that the first law of interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. This prevents individuals from using their opinions or traditions or their suppositions to interpret the Word of God. Scripture interprets Scripture. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We are also learning that the book of Revelation has an abundance of symbolic language. And even though the Bible uses symbolic language throughout the Old and New Testaments, and specifically throughout the book of Revelation, the main theme is to understand that all symbolic language still has a literal meaning, a very practical meaning that applies to us in the present tense. And as we are learning more about the Great Tribulation, we are learning that God does not need man-made devices to judge the world. God does not need nuclear bombs to judge the world. And God is not using man-made devices to judge the world. God himself bears witness to this methodology of using the weather, supernatural phenomena, as a part of his judgment. The book of Isaiah, chapter 13, gives witness on God using the weapons of his indignation. God not using man-made weapons as part of his judgment during the Great Tribulation, but the weapons of his indignation. Furthermore, scriptures teach in Psalm 18, verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Not only will we witness 100-pound hailstones during the Great Tribulation, but these coals of fire may be the very volcanic boulders that spew out from volcanoes and from the fissures that crack the earth's surface. God is using supernatural intervention, so much so that we've learned in chapter 6, individuals hiding in the rocks and caves of the mountains look up and understand that the judgment is coming from on high and not from man. God is using supernatural weather phenomenon to bring down judgment on the world. God is using supernatural hurricanes that cannot be measured, supernatural tornadoes that cannot be measured, earthquakes both in frequency and in intensity, volcanic eruptions that happen in known volcanoes, and as fissures begin to crack the earth's surface in the land and the sea, molten lava spews up to change the very geographic structure of the world, to remove mountains and islands from their places. Molten lava and gargantuan boulders, fiery boulders that spew out and pepper the earth from the volcanic activity and the fissures across the globe. Storm surge, winds, global fires, meteor showers, and such like is God using to bring down his wrath on a rejecting world that refuses to receive the love of God through Jesus Christ. In addition to the Great Tribulation judgment, we are learning the two main purposes of the Great Tribulation is to bring Israel back to repentance, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and receive salvation and deliverance through Christ. And for the Gentiles that have missed the rapture and were left behind, to also bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals will begin to look during the Great Tribulation to man and to government, global government, to save them in the form of the Antichrist, and eventually this global government, this Antichrist and the false prophet, through their actions, will cause the world to continue to implode. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Here we see in chapter 9 the fifth trumpet, also called the first woe. In verse 1, we see an angel being sent down to have a key to a bottomless pit. This particular angel is the devil. This speaks not to his original fall, as noted in Isaiah chapter 14, when he was cast out from heaven for rebelling against God, he and one-third of the angels. No, this speaks to the devil being given permission by way of a key or access to a bottomless pit. This bottomless pit is called the abyss. This bottomless pit is called in the Greek the abyssos. It's a boundless pit. It's a place of imprisonment. It imprisons the angels that sinned in Genesis chapter 6. These particular class of angels are not the same angels that roam around the world now doing the devil's bidding. This is a different class of demons, demons that violated their own habitation and left their spiritual dimension to disrupt and to contaminate and to pollute the seed of a woman. We know that from Genesis chapter 6. Verse number 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, these fallen angels, came in unto the daughters of men, females of mankind, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. These are the origins of the giants that the children of Israel had to fight when they were released from Egypt. This particular story is authenticated by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. These particular fallen angels that we read in Genesis chapter 6 left their spiritual habitation and violated this natural dimension in order to contaminate the seed of woman, in order to disrupt and to destroy the plan of God to bring the Messiah through the seed of a woman, as spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Peter states that these angels were cast down to hell. This word hell is not Hades in the Greek. It's the word Tartarus, which is the bottomless pit, which is the abyss. They were imprisoned in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Here in Revelation chapter 9, they are being allowed to be released after thousands of years by the devil, given a key from the angel representing the fifth trumpet, that they may rain havoc on the earth. Verse 2 speaks of opening the bottomless pit with the key, and out of it became smoke of a great furnace. This speaks to the darkness of sin and the darkness of evil that now will permeate this planet as these imprisoned angels are now being released to rain havoc on the earth during the great tribulation. They're speaking of in the form of locusts, spiritually speaking in terms of demons. These are not insect locusts, for these individuals have the power of scorpions to torment and to destroy those on the earth. This is further authenticated by demons themselves in Scripture. Luke chapter 8, the words of Jesus Christ when he was confronted by a demonically possessed man. Verse 30 and 31 says, Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him, or they begged Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That word deep, it is the abyss. It is the same word found in chapter 9 of Revelation. It is the bottomless pit. It is the abyssos in the Greek. It is tartarus in the Greek. It is a place of imprisonment of these fallen angels that violated their spiritual habitation back in Genesis chapter 6. Whatever this place was, this abyssos, this abyss, this bottomless pit, these demons did not want to be cast out into this particular place, this place called the deep. It was a place of not only imprisonment, it was a place of torment, it was a place where they were bound up until the day of great judgment to come. This place exists, it's real, and the devil was allowed to release these demons during the great tribulation, the fifth trumpet. So the devil, being the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2, being called the prince of this world in John chapter 12, and the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is given permission to loose these particular fallen angels for a season that they may rain havoc during the great tribulation. Verses 4 through 6, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This speaks to the seventh chapter of Revelation, where the 144,000 were sealed. Here, there's restraint given on these particular demons that are loosed, not to destroy any vegetation or any life on the earth. Their role, according to verse 5, is to torment individuals during the great tribulation for 5 months. In verse 5, we see an echo of chapter 7, where the 144,000 Jews that will be evangelizing the world during the great tribulation are sealed and protected from this demonic attack. These particular demons, according to verse 5, are charged with tormenting the remaining individuals on the earth during the great tribulation for a period of 9 months. Verse 6 speaks of their desire to die and cannot die. This gives us a picture of what the eternal judgment is to come. It is a place that is going to be with such torment that individuals are going to want to die and end the pain of their torment, but cannot die. The lake of fire, the last judgment upon the wicked, is a place of everlasting too late. Individuals go there and they will have a desire to end it, a desire to die, but they cannot. verse 6 speaks of an echo of chapter 6, verse 16, where individuals are hiding themselves in the rocks and the caves and crying out to fall on them and end the great torment they're going through during the great tribulation. Jesus echoes this in Luke chapter 23, when he's speaking of the last days, when Jesus says in verse 30, "Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us." Individuals desiring to die, but cannot die. Verses 7 through 10. "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and their breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months." Here we see a spiritual identification of these particular demons that still have a literal meaning. Verse 7 speaks of their crowns, representing pseudo or false royalty. Verse 7 speaks of their faces being as the faces of men. This speaks to intelligence. This speaks to the fact that demons have wiles and schemes and methodologies in their attack of men, in their temptation. They have demonic strategies that they carry out based on their intelligence and their scope on humanity. Verse 8 speaks of their hair being as the hair of women. This speaks to these demons being attractive and seductive and luring individuals in to their temptation and not appearing as harmful or hurtful, but appearing seductive and attractive. Their teeth is spoken of in verse 8 as the teeth of lions. This speaks of cruelty, fierceness, and ferocity. Verse 9 speaks of their breastplates of iron. This speaks of their sense of invulnerability and their sense of invincibility. Verse 9 speaks of their wings as the sounds of chariots of many horses running to battle. This speaks of calamity and demonic recklessness. Verse number 10. Here again we see that they have a period of time on the earth to torment men 5 months. Their tails, like unto scorpions in verse 10, speaks of great agony. Verse number 11, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." Both the Hebrew and the Greek means destroyer. This is another demon, fallen angel, that was with them bound up in the bottomless pit. And when the devil loosed these demons, this particular chief demon leader was among them and guided them through their temptations along the earth. Verse number 12, "One woe was past, and behold, there come two woes hereafter." This first woe speaks of the fifth trumpet. The two woes hereafter speak to the sixth and the seventh trumpet. These trumpets are called woes because woe means impending doom to come, impending catastrophe to come. And unless an individual ceases from their behavior, there's great calamity and catastrophe. These woes speak of great lamentation, great mourning, great sadness at the impending calamity to come. This is Revelation chapter 9, part 1. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.